God wants a passionate people. He's a passionate God. Passion is something that you're willing to suffer for. If you're passionate about something, you'll spend yourself on pursuing that. You'll inconvenience yourself on pursuing that. You'll sacrifice yourself to pursue that. Amen? Some people are passionate about money and they sacrifice themselves. They basically, some people, they literally, they kill themselves just trying to make more, to get more, to have more toys, to get bigger, whatever. And then they check out early because they've trashed themselves so badly in the pursuit of something that never satisfied them anyways. But we have a God that is inviting us to come into His presence, into the throne of His grace and mercy. And He invites us to dine at His table, to discover the joy of fellowship with Him and the purpose for which we were created and placed here. And we had to have a passion for God that is greater than any other passion. Because if you're more passionate about something else, even if it's sports, whatever it might be, it's actually become an idol now. Amen. How many know that God deserves our highest praise, our best praise? Amen. And all of our devotion. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify the Lord in your body. Hallelujah. How many know your body belongs to Him now? So be careful what you do with it. Amen. You better make that body obey you. Amen. Your body's not supposed to be in charge. Amen. The adult's supposed to be in charge there, right? Of the child. So we're supposed to be led of the Holy Spirit. Well, Lord, thank you so much for your presence, your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercies that were new even this day, Lord, this morning as we come. We thank you, Father, that we have a Father that doesn't reject us when we fail or we make mistakes. But God, we can turn to you, we can run to you and know that we are safe in your arms, Lord. That we are protected in your arms, Lord. That there is a refuge for our souls in you. And Lord, we ask you to hide us in you. Lord, just draw us into you and set our hearts on fire for you, Jesus. Because we want to blaze, we want to burn for you, Lord. We want to be a bright light in a dark world, God. Because we want people to see you, Lord. We want to see people see you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So make us, Lord, a blessing that out of our lives, Jesus, you would shine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We were at the men's breakfast yesterday, and something kind of triggered this. And it was, who you are in secret is who you really are when nobody's watching, you know. And you need to have a secret life with God before you have a public life for God. And a lot of people, they're looking for just the obvious thing and to be seen and to be noticed and to be heard. And you know, a lot of times we really have to examine ourselves to say, why am I even doing this? Is it really about Jesus or is it about getting attention for myself? You know? You can't stand outwardly unless you are standing inwardly. And you cannot overcome temptation and trouble externally if you don't have anything going on internally. And you really cannot be a light in this world until you have a relationship with the light, Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is not something that is a visible thing. It's something that is in the secret place, the quiet place. The place where God calls us to come apart and to spend time with Him and really to be built up in Him. We are responsible as a priesthood, remember, to maintain the supply of oil to the lamp. We are the lamp of God, but our responsibility as the priest of old, as now the priesthood, the royal priesthood in Christ, our responsibility is to maintain the lamp. Amen. That means that we make sure that that supply of oil is continually flowing. It doesn't run dry. Amen. That we trim the wick, that we get rid of the unnecessary things in our lives that would prevent our flame from being full for God. Amen. So that we simplify our lives. We get rid of the things that God says are not good. Now, we know about the sin, don't we? But what about the weights? What about the things that are not necessarily bad things, but they're things that we fill our lives with, even good things, that have a tendency to choke us because we have put too much emphasis on the good things or the temporary things? You know, you look at some of the, and I won't name names, but you look at some of the Hollywood stars, you know, and how beautiful they appear outwardly. But there's a whole different story going on inside. You know, that's you and I apart from Christ, you know. We can make ourselves look beautiful, whatever. You can put paint on anything, right? Make it look nice. But what really needs to come through is the inner heart, amen? The heart of Christ, the life of Christ, the beauty, the inner beauty of the Lord, amen? And let that overshadow the external man, because we don't want people just to see the plastic, amen? We want people to see Christ. And people are not going to see Christ in us unless we are abiding in Him. And you cannot be strong externally until you are, first of all, strong internally. And so our responsibility as a follower of Jesus is to maintain that supply of oil, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We are to be, according to Ephesians 6, Paul told us, be strong in the Lord. He said, this is your responsibility. You need to be strong in the Lord. How do I do that? Do I do that by just trying harder to be strong in the Lord? Oh, I'm going to be real strong for Jesus today. How far does that get you? How well does that work? No, I can't be strong in the Lord if I'm not abiding in the Lord. Amen. You can't run on willpower very long. Your willpower will fail you. You have soul power, but soul power does not please the Lord. Amen. It's the grace that God supplies by His Spirit that will empower you, enable you, that will strengthen you internally so that you can live externally the life that glorifies the Lord. So people will see the reality of Christ in you. Amen. Because of the way that you live before the world. You understand, we can even do good things externally. Good works externally, and let our light shine externally. But how many know that if it's not coming from the internal man, if it's not coming from Christ, it's just dead works. It's just you and I doing good things. Yep. See, God accepts that which is out of His heart, out of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit that God is looking at. And so, having said that, God does look for fruit in our lives. Would you agree? But what God is really focusing on is the root of our lives. And so we need to be people of deep roots. Now, there was a man named Jabez. How many have read the book? Maybe you read the book. There's a book out called The Prayer of Jabez. And here Jabez is mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, but kind of, if you look at the beginning of the book and even before and after, all of a sudden it's like we're talking about all these genealogies, especially of the Davidic genealogy, you know. And all of a sudden, just popped up in the middle of all that is this mention of this guy named Jabez. It's kind of like, have you ever read First Chronicles? You're reading all these, well, if you can get past the genealogies, and if you just kind of skip the genealogies, you'll miss this portion that's in verse 9 and 10 of First Chronicles. So that's our passage to start with. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And the title of today's message is The Prayer That God Hears. How many have ever felt that maybe your prayers aren't being heard? Sometimes we have to wait on answers, amen? It doesn't mean that God's not hearing. But sometimes we're asking for the wrong reason, wrong motives, right? God doesn't hear that. But we do know that God does answer according to His will. And so, this man is mentioned. He's given, not much is known about Jabez. You know, it's kind of all of a sudden, it's like this guy just kind of, he's just dropped into the middle of this genealogy. And it talks about a man who had prayed and he asked for four things. And we want to talk a little bit about those four things. But the prayer that he prayed was a prayer that pleased God and that God answered. So if we can get a hold of this and understand, this is the heart of our Father. This is the desire of our Father. If we could pray according to this, it's a prayer that God will answer. Okay? Are you ready? Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Now, how would you like to have a name that basically said, born in sorrow, or born in pain? Excuse me, born in pain, would you come here? Or that which causes pain? And so, that was his name, and that's what he was living with, being called this. Now, we can speculate, was it because she had, very possibly she had very difficult childbirth, and so in pain she bore him, and so it was such a dramatic experience that she kind of memorialized it by calling him Jabez. And but Jabez was a man of faith. Jabez was a man that pleased God, and his prayer that was offered to God, he heard and he answered. So we need to learn from the examples, amen, that we find in Scripture so that we can understand what pleases the Lord. Would you say amen to that? It's kind of important, isn't it, that we find out what pleases the Lord. And so four things he prayed for. In verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. So the four things are, number one, is that you would what? Bless me? Indeed. First of all, that he'd be blessed. And then secondly, that he would enlarge his territory, okay? Or borders, or coastline. Okay, and thirdly, that the hand of God would be with him. And then, finally, that God would keep him from evil and that he would not cause any pain. You know, again, we can kind of understand if you were given a name such as that and you're constantly reminded every time you heard your name or it was mentioned that I caused my mom a lot of grief. Caused her a lot of pain. And so here he's praying specifically, Lord, what? Deliver me from evil that I may not cause any pain. Now, how many know there's a difference between natural pain, amen, and pain that is caused through the Spirit, amen, and through decisions and choices that we've made that were foolish, that were not in agreement with what was God's will for us. And so the first thing he said is, and number one, is bless me indeed. That is, give me true happiness. He wanted to be happy. And, you know, and then that is only possible as one walks with God. Would you agree? So happiness is a result of walking with God. Now, is God opposed to happiness? There are some Christians who think that God's not happy and that he's opposed to happiness. And that somehow he wants us to be gloomy and overly serious and sober-minded. Yes, sober. Do you understand that God actually wants you and I to be happy? Remember the old song, Happiness is the Lord. True joy is mine no matter if the teardrops start. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. God wants you to be happy. So he prays this. God, bless me. Indeed. Give me true happiness. and then enlarge my territory. In other words, Jabez was saying, I'm not content to continue to be where I've always been. I'm not content to continue to be where I've always been in my relationship with you. How many know that God wants you and I to grow? He wants you and I to expand or to be stretched so that we have a greater capacity to host Him in our lives and be a fuller expression of His heart in this world. See, this is what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to me to share with you today, is that God wants you to build your spirit, to be a glutton, if you will, for His presence, to be heavy drinkers, amen, of His presence, so that you are an overflowing cup. But He said, stretch out the borders, you know, of my territory. Expand me, He said. Make me a greater influence. How many here would say, I would like to be a better influence or a greater influence for God? Amen. So pray that way, because it's a prayer that honors God, that God is happy to answer. But understand that in the process of stretching and growing, there are going to be tests. There are going to be difficulties. But how many know in light of eternity, it's worth it? Because the Lord's desire is that you and I bear much fruit and glorify the Father. So we've got to pray, God, stretch me, grow me up, expand me, and give me a greater capacity to host you and express you in this world so that people are going to get a good dose, amen, of who you are through my life. Because sometimes, let's face it, the Spirit of the Lord can be in you, but sometimes we're quenching or shutting off the flow of the Spirit. And you know, there are people, and I pray not so here today, but there are people who the only time they really feed themselves is on Sunday morning. They come in like it's going around the racetrack, and they're coming in for a pit stop, and they get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they try to run on that the whole week, and some people not don't even come every week. How many know that you can't survive that way? You can't eat once a week, amen? And after you try eating just once a week and you keep doing that, guess what? You will starve to death. How many know it's not just about coming to church? It's about you coming to the Lord wherever you are on a continually daily basis, amen? Getting into the Word, feeding on Him, amen? Praying that God will expand you, will broaden your horizons, if you will. Pull those tent pegs out and stretch them out a little further so you have more capacity, amen, to house Him and to express Him in this world. That is a prayer that God wants to answer. Why? Because He said, you are the light of the world. But He says, if you're trying to hide that light under a bushel, it's no good. So what you want to do is let your light so shine before men that they see, amen, your good works. So in other words, our Christianity has got to become obvious, visible. No, I'm not talking about just doing good things. I'm talking about that you walk with God and you worship God, and to the degree that you are expressing God and people are seeing the glory of God in your face. Yeah. Yeah, come on, somebody. So we've got to be a people of His presence. And to do that, it requires me to be disciplined. It means that I have to deny myself in order to get with God, amen, and to drink deeply from the wells of Yeshua. I need to also set time aside every day where I'm just getting in His presence. I'm shutting off all the distractions, all the lesser things, amen, so that I might be expanded, so that I might have greater influence, because I am in a position now where I have given God the opportunity to fill more of my life, to stretch me, to grow me. Amen. How many know that adults are able to reproduce, right? So we've got to grow up. We've got to feed ourselves, amen, on the milk of the Word. It grieves me because so many young believers, they have an experience. They come, God touches their heart. They get excited for a moment. They come down to an altar even. And they give their life to Jesus, but then they don't continue to feed, they don't continue in the Word, and they don't continue to pray and to seek the Lord, and little by little, they begin to wither. And then the next thing you know, the trials, the temptations start to come against them. The enemy comes after them because he knows that a sheep that is not in the fold becomes vulnerable. And after a while, they fall away. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my heart so I can bear more fruit. Jude 1 and verse 20, I quote this all the time. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourselves up. We need to be building ourselves up. Amen? Not just my brother and my sister, but I need to be building me up. Amen? How many know that you can build people up better if you are built up?
That's right.
We can't be just given out. Amen? We've got to be receivers too. Because you can't give anything that you don't have. And you can't lead anybody where you're not going. And I'm aware of that as a leader as well in the church, that I've got to be continuing to grow myself. I've got to be stretched. I've got to go beyond where I'm at. It's easy to get into a place of comfort and predictability. And I've always been here. And I'm good. No, I'm good. Right where I'm at. Don't want to be challenged anymore. And sometimes the devil deceives us into thinking that there's really nothing more for you than what you already have. Because he's a thief. God has way more than we realize available for us if we will pursue Him. Amen? If we will seek Him. He will grow you up. And He will bring you to a place where you bear more fruit. And that's my prayer, Lord. I want to bear much fruit. We live in a hard place. We live in the Northwest. It's not an easy assignment. But there's fruit. Amen? There are people that are open and willing. They just need someone to talk to them, to share Jesus with them. Don't raise your hand this morning, but how many invited somebody to church today? You understand? How many think that this is a good place to bring people? They'll either love you or hate you, but you bring them, okay? If they are hungry, if they want Jesus, they'll like it here. Amen. In order for us to grow as a congregation, amen, we have to be growing individually. We have to be having some quiet time, some private time with God. Amen. Some people are really good at putting on a show at church, but what's really going on behind the scenes? We can fake it externally, but you can't fake it internally because God sees the heart. And He knows who you are in that secret place where you really live. He said, Lord, I pray, number three, that your hand would be with me. He's saying, I want your presence. I want your power. I want your guidance in my life. Lord, guide me by your Spirit is what he's saying. Let your hand be with me daily. How many know that God honors that prayer? You ask, and you shall receive. And then he said, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. How many know that sin is the major problem we have? Sin is that which causes us not only causes us pain, but it causes others pain. Amen? And it robs you of joy. How many know it's good to have a clean heart and to have a clear conscience, to know that life is good with God? Amen? That you're in right standing, you have peace with God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I can remember growing up and getting into trouble, not even when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, I'd get into trouble. You remember doing something that you shouldn't have done? I know none of you have never done anything like that, but I did. And boy, I couldn't, and I had that guilt, that conscience that was bothering me and thinking, man, my mom used to have this line. How many used to hear this? Wait till your father gets home. Sometimes mom was enough wrath in itself, amen. But when dad got home, my goodness, those size 12s are coming up the stairs. Boom, boom, boom. He did what? I'll never do it again. Yeah. But I can remember a time or two when my dad was very gracious. Oh, thank God for grace. Somebody say thank God for grace, right? And I didn't get what I really deserved. I said, oh, because I was just thinking, man, I'm going to be boiled in oil. I had all these imaginations going. It's, you know, I'm going to be stretched on the rack or something's going to happen. I don't know. But I can remember my dad a few times in my life just being gracious to me and say, all right, son, you learned already. Don't go and do it again. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus did? He said, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you either, but don't continue to do it. Amen? If you love Jesus, you obey Him anyways. So 1 John 5:14 says that this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We're talking about the prayer that God answers. God answered the prayer of Jabez. So we can learn from this. We can glean from this, and we can say, you know what? If that's what honors God, if that's what pleases God, that's what I'm going to pray for in my own life on a continual basis. What was the first one? That God, you will bless me indeed. That He would first bless, amen? Because you and I, let's face it, we can't be a blessing unless we're blessed. We can't give anything we don't have, so we got to say, God, bless me first, amen? I need your blessing. And then what else did He tell him? What was the second one? Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. So God, make me a blessing, but also stretch my capacity. Amen? To be a bigger blessing. To be more effective in this world. See, I'm running it forward to the spiritual in the New Testament. Amen? Sometimes people will think, well, I just want more land. I want a better car. I want a bigger house. I want to, you know, and unfortunately, too many churches are just giving that message out where it's all about the stuff. But actually, what was written before is for our admonition today. Amen. That we should be praying that God would stretch me and grow me up. Amen. So that I have a greater capacity to bear more fruit and to glorify the Lord. And it pleased the Lord. So if you're asking according to His will, which Jabez did, it honored the Lord. He answered that prayer. And He says that your hand will be with me. Thirdly, that your presence will go before me, Lord, that, you know, I just want you to go before me and lead me and guide me and direct me in the way that I should go. Every day I pray that, do you? We got to pray and ask God to do that. And He will. He'll answer that prayer. Why? Because He wants to walk with us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. Amen? And then, Lord, deliver me from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. That I may not cause pain. Do you understand? His motivation was not just so that I could be clean, but so that my life would not affect others adversely. Because what we do does influence others. How we live sends a message. Amen? If I live an evil life, if I allow evil in my life, if I allow sin in my life, I'm going to adversely affect others around me. I'm going to cause pain. How many of you know that sin causes pain? So pray this way that the Lord will strengthen you. Amen? That He will increase you. That He would be with you and guide you and give you, you know, direction for your life, and that He would keep you from the evil one, so that you are being a blessing and not a curse. How many think that's a good idea? Well, how many think we should be praying that? Amen? And how many know that God answers that prayer? Write these down. Pray them every day. Watch, see what happens. Now, I want to just kind of shift a little bit, because a lot of times, and I started out with this, we are busy with a lot of things in life, and we are many times focused on external things. And how many know it's a good idea to take a shower? Amen? To maybe do something with that hair. I mean, but we can do something about our appearance. Amen? So that we're presentable to the public, right? But what about the heart? Amen? We've paid so much attention sometimes to these things and how we appear. And what the opinions of people are. And am I doing the things that people expect of me? How about, what does God want? What pleases the Lord? What brings Him pleasure? What honors the Lord? Find out, discover those things, do those things. And God will honor those who honor Him. You want to be honored by the Lord? Honor Him. Hallelujah. So the most important part of you and I is our spirit, is our heart. The Bible says that we are tripartite. We are a three-part individual, right? We're a body, soul, and spirit. But the most important part of us is the heart. And that's where God looks at. See, we can do things externally and we can fool people externally, but you can't fool God. He knows the heart. But what God wants to do is He wants to work on that part of you and I. Amen? He alone is able to change the heart. We can change things externally, but you cannot change your heart. That's why you've got to trust the Lord and you've got to give Him the whole offering. Don't give Him, amen, just your spare change, or give Him just your leftovers or your spare time, or maybe I'll wait till I retire and then I'll serve the Lord. I've heard a lot of people say, when I retire, I'm really going to dedicate my life to serving the Lord. And then they retire and guess what? They haven't changed a thing. They're still doing what they always did. Amen. They just got more time for themselves now. Well, I'm not here to shame anybody today. And if that applies to you, well, maybe it's God saying something, right? I don't know. But you know what? He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves our service. He deserves to be honored. For all that He's done on our behalf, is it not our reasonable service to offer Him our bodies now? To give ourselves back to Him? Absolutely it is. The most important is our spirit. You remember in John 4:23, and I've read this a lot, but Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship what? In spirit and truth. Now, to worship means to kiss or to pay homage, to humble one's soul, to bow your soul. Amen? Before God. So, under the law, under the old covenant, they did a lot of external things, amen, because they were commanded to. But if your heart's not in it, and if what you do is not motivated by the Spirit of the Lord, then it's what we call a dead work once again, amen. It's maybe not, it may be a good thing, but it's not anything that's going to last because it's not what God told you to do. And sometimes we approach this whole Christian thing with this idea that, well, you know, like it's some kind of buffet. And I'll serve God here, and I'll have a little of this and a little of that, but no, I'm not going to do that, God, but I will do this for you. Pick and choose how I'm going to serve God. Oh, yeah, I'll serve God as long as it's comfortable and it's 70 degree day and, you know, everything is going my way. The sun is shining, but if it's raining, I'm not going to stand out on the corner on Friday night and I'm not going to hand out hot meals to people if it's raining. You've heard that you've heard that voice, haven't you? But you do it out of love, right? Because the love of God in you is motivating you, and you're not doing it, amen, for you, but you're doing it because you care. You love people, and you want to see others blessed. And we're just loving God back by loving people, aren't we? But sometimes we enter into service for God in that which is convenient for us. But if there's pain in the offering, I'm not so sure. If it means I have to deny myself to come to church, oh, I'm not so sure. I'm a little tired. I think I got a little sniffle. Yes. Oh, I'm sick today. The whole family has to stay home, right? To blow the poor kid's nose. So, yeah. Do you understand? We want to approach this thing as to how I want to do it, when I want to do it, if I want to do it at all. I'll pick and choose how I'm going to serve God. I mean, know that if it's not His will, it's in vain. If it's just something you want to do. There's a lot of people that get into ministry thinking, oh, it'd be glorious to be a pastor. And then they get in because they're not called or assigned. It's not their assignment. They find out it wasn't at all what they thought it was going to be. Reality. We're in a battle. We're in a war. And you can't be where you're not supposed to be. And you can't do what you're not called to do. God gives you an assignment. He gives you a passion. He gives you a drive. He gives you a desire. You want to know how to really discover that? Draw close to God. Draw close to Him. Fast and pray. Seek His face. And all of a sudden, these things will become very clear to you. This is where my passion is. This is where I'm supposed to be doing for God. Oh, yes. We were just talking about it in Sunday school this morning. There's a lady that volunteers her time, and she is rich in theology, and she could teach, and she can edify the body of Christ in other ways. But God told her to come and clean the church. Praise God for people, amen, that are willing to do that. Because they love the Lord, amen? They're doing it as unto the Lord. But that's what God told her to do. And God will reward her for her obedience to do the will of God. Not because it just felt good to get down there and scrub that toilet. Sometimes what we're called to do is not going to be pleasant. But so often we're led by our feelings. I feel like it today, therefore I will. Do you know, I would die spiritually. The enemy would take me out if I just allowed my feelings to tell me what to do every day. And the same thing is true for any of us. We cannot be led by emotions. We've got to be led by the truth. And the will of God, the Word of God has to be our guide. What does God want? What honors God? What pleases God? What does God want me to do in my life? That's the most important thing. And that is what's going to light my flame. That is what's going to produce in me a greater passion. Amen? That I am in the will of God for my life. That's what's going to complete me. That's what's going to satisfy me, is the will of God for my life. Not something that I think in my own understanding would be nice to do. Wouldn't it be nice to be a missionary? You get a lot of people that think it's a great idea to be a missionary. And they get out in the mission field and they don't make it. Why? Because God didn't call them to be a missionary. But if that's something that God put in their heart and it's something that He's telling them to do, He'll provide the grace for them to do it effectively. And their life will be full of joy because they're in the will of God. You know, God wants you to pray. He wants every one of us to have a prayer life as a priesthood. Amen? Come to prayer. We have prayer Friday nights. We have prayer and worship on Wednesday nights. Folks, every week we're here, we're gathered. Very few are able to make it. Some people can make it. And I'm not here to shame anybody, but I'm here to say that we need to pray. We need to pull together. We're living in dark days. We're living in the last days. We need to be people of prayer. We need to be people of His presence. We need to be praying like Jabez, Lord, bless me. Amen. And make me a blessing and enlarge my territory. Stretch me, grow me up, Lord. Amen. And Lord, I want your hand upon me. I want your presence with me to guide me. I need your power. I need your strength in my life. And I need you, Lord, to keep the evil one off of me. If you're a person of prayer, the enemy can't touch you. If you're a person of prayer, the enemy can't touch you. But your protection is in Christ, putting on the full armor of God. Hallelujah. I didn't say he wouldn't tempt you or test you, but he can't touch your person. Keep yourself in the Lord. Amen. Most of us think that we're pretty deep and strong in the Lord. And a lot of times it's obvious because I don't need to go to church. I don't need to pray. I don't need to be in the Word. Why? I'm pretty strong. Strong people don't need to go to church. Do you understand? It's deceiving yourself to think that you're not supposed to be in fellowship. I'm glad you listened to the other voice this morning, man, aren't you? Did you listen to God today? And he said, I want you in church. Amen. How many would be honest today and said you'd heard another voice saying, just stay home. It's rainy. It's cold. It's miserable. You know? Yeah, see, you listen to the right voice. But when we're strong in ourselves, we don't have a sense need for God, you see. And then we're more vulnerable than ever to the enemy to take us out. Do you know that God allows us to go through difficult times?
Yes.
Of course, right? But God wants us to be aware of the fact that in Him, there is strength. There is the ability to overcome. Okay? Because if we don't have problems and things go too smoothly for too long, we have a tendency, come on, to forget God. That's what Israel's problem was. He says, after you've eaten and drunk and had your fill and you've built houses and lands and you know all that, and you've entered into this place that you didn't, you know, had nothing to do with. I provided it for you, this land that's flowing with milk and honey. He says, then after you've eaten and drunk, you've had your fill, rise up and bless the Lord, lest you forget. Lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. And it's no, the same thing is true today. We can forget. And you know, I've discovered something that if I would discipline myself, then God doesn't have to discipline me. You hear it? Start disciplining yourself and God doesn't have to discipline you. Start doing what God's telling you to do, amen? And He doesn't have to spank you. Because He loves us, He's a good Father, and He has to spank us sometimes because we're just sometimes unruly kids. But if I start doing what He's telling me to do, He doesn't have to spank me. I want to hear the Father say, like He said to Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I want to hear the Lord say, you're a man after my own heart, like David. You're willing to do all of my good pleasure. You're not approaching this thing with, you know, this pick and choose mentality. You're willing to do whatever I tell you to do, however I tell you to do it, whenever I tell you to do it. And in that, the Lord is delighted because it means that we really trust Him. If God's telling us to give something up, know that He's going to give you something superior in return for that. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24 and 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You'll find out how strong you are in the day of difficulty. The New Living Translation says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. So once in a while, the Lord has to turn up the heat to reveal to us the fact that we're just not strong enough in ourselves to overcome and to do what God has called us to do. So we need to grow deep roots. We need to go deep into God. The deep of me needs to cry out to the deep of God, and I need God to grow me, to expand me, to fill me, amen, so that I can be a greater expression of His heart in this world. I want to bear much fruit. How about you? And it's not a result of me trying harder to bear fruit. It's me abiding in the place where fruitfulness will automatically happen. That means in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Almost, I got one more to go. Okay. Jesus spoke of certain people who have a visible outward life of service but have no foundation. And this is in Luke 8:13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The New Living Translation says it this way, Luke 8:13. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. If your plant, if your tree does not have deep roots, it's not going to last very long. We've got to grow roots. We've got to get deep roots. And deeper roots as we see the end coming and the day of the Lord is near. When the darkness is encroaching upon us, we are to shine even brighter. Where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. But that grace comes through relationship. Amen. Comes through worship of God, praying in the Holy Spirit, building up yourself on your most holy faith. You've got to grow yourself in the Lord. Pray. Read the Word. Amen. Seek His face. Steps of obedience. As the Lord sees you being faithful in the little thing, He gives you ruler of much. Amen. Little by little, He'll increase what He's given you because you've been faithful with it. How many would say, I want a greater anointing in my life? We'd say, yes, Lord, I want a greater anointing. Well, it takes responsibility with what I have then. I have to be faithful. I have to be faithful to listen to His voice and to obey His word. And God tells me to do something, I need to say, yes, sir. Your priorities, not mine. You understand, some of us, we stay in the same place. And I've witnessed this in church after church, where folks will come year after year after year after year, and they're always in the same place. They've gotten into the place of comfort and predictability. And they're okay with just the status quo and what I already got, my measly little this or little that. And they don't have any passion or desire to grow up, to go on, to stretch out, to be a greater effective witness for Jesus. They're just content to sit, soak, and sour. But God wants us to burn for Him. God wants us to be on fire for Him. God wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to have passion, amen, that will burn in you, that will motivate you to do His will, that your desire will be what He desires, amen. All of a sudden His will becomes your desire and He begins to work in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And I'm here to do the will of my Father, amen. I'm not here for myself anymore. I'm here to do the will of God. God saved me. He sanctified me. Amen. He set me apart for His purposes now. My life is to be lived for Jesus Christ. I don't want to get just comfortable in complacency. Apathetic. Passivity. Well, whatever will be, will be. Que sera. Some of you remember that. The Doris Day Show. No, that's not the attitude. Amen. It's not whatever will be, will be. Well, guess what? What you've always been is what you're going to remain, if that's your attitude. God will not force Himself upon you. God has set before you a banquet. He's saying, have at it. All that you have need of, all that pertains to life and godliness is given freely to you. If you'll come and you'll dine, you'll come and you'll partake, you come and be filled. Amen? And you continue in that place and pray every day, Lord, number one, I need to be blessed by You. Amen? I need You to enlarge me, to stretch me out, to grow me up. Amen? And I need your hand upon my life. I need your guidance. I need your power. Amen. I need your help every day, Jesus. Guide me by your Spirit. Amen. And Lord, deliver me from that wicked one. Amen. So that I don't cause pain for anybody else as well. Hallelujah.